AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota here on FYI Politics with Brett Johnson. Well, unfortunately, the COVID-19 pandemic is not going anywhere anytime fast. And with COVID-19 sticking around for a while, that means employees are going to be facing challenges when dealing with issues with employers, whether that's wage theft or other employment violations. And the state legislature could have some work to do in the state of Minnesota in terms of how we respond to employee rights. Minnesota is often portrayed as being a very progressive, worker-friendly state, but not always the case when you look at certain laws in Minnesota and specifically our forced arbitration system. So joining us to talk about that is Molly Coleman. She is the executive director of the People's Parity Project, which is a national nonprofit organization for a legal system that values people over profits, and she recently wrote a piece in the Minnesota Reformer. Hey, Molly, how are you doing today?
I'm good, Brett. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I talked about, we often think of Minnesota as being a very worker-friendly and very progressive state, but that's not always the case. Can you talk about some areas where Minnesota could use some improvement?
Yeah, definitely. So I think that Minnesota for a long time has had a reputation of being a great state to be a worker, and in many ways that's still true. But we are unfortunately starting to see ways in which we're falling behind other states. So I'm thinking specifically about the fact that in Minnesota, we don't have a law requiring paid sick leave. We don't have a minimum wage that's keeping up with the cost of living in any region of the state, right? So as you're seeing in other places around the country, we're seeing workers that are getting left behind. Of course, we have legislators who have been working for progress for workers for a long time. Unfortunately, a lot of that potential for progress is being stymied by Senate Republicans here in Minnesota. And I think that, you know, as I wrote about in my piece, the other thing that is not being talked about enough in Minnesota by either side of the aisle is the scourge of forced arbitration that is really serving to keep workers down throughout the state's workforce.
Yeah, and that is one of the areas that you highlight where we could use some improvement in the state, again, with forced arbitration. I mean, as we're looking through, estimates show that by the middle of the decade, up to 80% of non-union private sector workers might have one of these in their employment contract. So can you walk us through, before we dive into some of the details, what exactly forced arbitration is, and walk me through how that works if an employee decides to go that route, if they have a dispute with their employer?
Yeah, definitely. So forced arbitration, right, is this little known contract clause that has a massive impact. Unfortunately, it is written in a way to be intentionally hard to understand. It's buried in legal, it's shrouded in legalese. It's buried, you know, at page 10 of a 15-page contract. So more often than not, workers don't even realize that they've signed a forced arbitration clause, just as consumers don't realize that they've signed a forced arbitration clause when they sign their Netflix contract or whatever the case may be. So this is the forced arbitration originated with the Federal Arbitration Act in 1925 and was really meant to be a way for big businesses, when they signed a contract with equal power on both sides of the contract, to keep disputes out of court. And to go through sort of an alternative dispute resolution system. Unfortunately, over the last 100 years, and especially over the last couple of decades, we've seen forced arbitration clauses inserted in contracts in which there are two parties not with equal bargaining power, right? So you have an employer who's saying, sign this contract as is, or walk away from this job, and a worker who's saying, well, the economy is crap, I need to take care of my family. I need to feed myself. So, of course, I'm going to sign this regardless of the terms of the contract. So the way that the Supreme Court has started to interpret the Federal Arbitration Act means that these clauses are being used in a way that they were never intended to by the original legislature in 1925. And again, this is all at the federal level. So what the clause says is that if you have any dispute with your employer, if you are the victim of sexual harassment, if you're the victim of race-based discrimination, if you're the victim of wage theft, if your employer is violating federal workplace safety laws, you do not have the right to sue them that you are guaranteed in the United States Constitution. Instead, you have to go into this privatized, I wish you could see my air quotes, but hard air quote justice system, in which really there's no justice at all. So it's an entirely secret process. The, you know, what happens behind closed doors of arbitration basically never gets out. You have an arbitrator who is often hand-selected by the company, who knows that if they want to continue to be hand-selected by the company, they better come out on the right side of the issue for the employer. You don't have the right to appeal. You don't have any of the protections guaranteed you in court. And so this is why recent studies have found that workers are more likely to be struck by lightning than to win in an arbitration proceeding that they didn't have a choice about entering into. So that's the overview.
Wow, so pretty much the deck is stacked against an employee if they have some sort of dispute with an employer. As you said, even the person who often decides the arbitration cases are, well, selected by the company themselves, and, well, they're certainly going to go with where they're going to be making their money, so that makes sense from their perspective. So, yeah, the deck really is stacked against workers in general in these cases, and there really aren't any other areas of recourse where people can go, can they, in terms of an appeal, as you were talking about?
Exactly. So there's no recourse. You know, the one hope that workers might have is that a state enforcement agency would bring an action on their behalf. Of course, the state isn't bound by a forced arbitration clause because they aren't party to the contract. So you could have, you know, of course, we have Keith Ellison as our attorney general, who has been a huge supporter of workers' rights, who would certainly bring many of these cases if there was evidence that an employer was acting illegally. Unfortunately, what we know is that across the country, and including here in Minnesota, these enforcement agencies are underfunded. So with the level of employer misconduct, it is not possible for state enforcement agencies to keep up, which is why individuals need to have, you know, their own right of action, because it can't be entirely dependent on the state to protect every single worker all day, every day, when we have millions of workers here in Minnesota. So there are, in theory, other options, but given the under-resourced nature of these state agencies, it really, workers are getting screwed on every level.
So as you were talking through this as well, how is this governed between the federal and the state level? I know you were talking about how the Supreme Court has certainly ruled on how forced arbitration can work, but what about at the state level? Is there anything we could do in terms of the Minnesota legislature to try to change the system?
Yeah, great, great question. So the Supreme Court has made very clear that arbitration is the law of the land. They love forced arbitration, and that doctrine isn't going anywhere until we get legislation on the federal level passed. That said, states are taking approaches to ensure that workers have alternatives, so that workers who might be bound by a forced arbitration clause, who might be dealing with state enforcement agencies that are underfunded and don't have capacity, that they have an alternative way of ensuring that they get the day in court that they're entitled to. So a great example of this is the Private Attorney General Act that was passed recently in California, where aggrieved parties, where workers are able to bring an enforcement action on behalf of the state. So an individual worker could sue their employer in the name of the state without Keith Ellison's office having to get involved. So this allows workers to have the day in court that they're entitled to hold their employers accountable, and also to earn revenue for the state, because the way laws like the Private Attorney General Act in California are set up, the money that is recovered, some of it goes to the worker and some of it goes to the state. So the state actually increases their enforcement capacity through laws like this. You have seen, you know, other attempts in states like Colorado to ensure that workers are able to maintain their rights. And you're seeing increasing energy around this across the country. Right now, there's a proposed legislation in New York that would do something similar to what's been done in California. You're starting to see this, you know, throughout the country, and not just in the bluest of blue states, but it's certainly something that should be on the table in the next legislative session here in Minnesota.
And given the current makeup of the Minnesota legislature, where we have a Democratic-controlled House and a Republican-controlled Senate, not likely that that's going to occur at all, given the current makeup. But if we do have some changes in the state legislature, are you optimistic that we might get some changes to this law? Have we heard anything from specific state legislatures that want to tackle this issue? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I'm definitely hopeful that there's a world in which post-November we have a state senate that is inclined to really stand up for workers. We're seeing just incredible progressives being poised to be elected throughout the state, and folks who really do believe that workers, that empowering workers is key to ensuring a successful future for all Minnesotans. I'll also say that, you know, there's some, this isn't an entirely partisan issue. Right? Access to the courts, access to the justice system, ensuring that workers can defend themselves against corporate wrongdoers. There's some reason to think that there might be folks from both parties who could get on board with this. When Congress took this up at the federal level in the last year or so, you had a couple of conservative members of Congress who were really speaking out and saying that the forced arbitration system is unjust, that workers deserve better, and actually voting for the Forced Arbitration and Justice Repeal Act. So I'm hopeful that no matter what happens at the ballot box, we will see progress on this issue. But certainly, should we continue to send progressives to the state capitol, I'm confident that folks will take this up, because it is a massive crisis. People are starting to realize that, and I think that people are ready for change.
Yeah, just to hit home this point one more time, you estimate that by the year 2024, 80% of non-union private sector workers are going to end up signing one of these agreements. And as you talked about, they're similar to those terms of agreement types of things you have with Netflix or Apple or whoever else. So it is a very, very big issue, and something that I think, as you can certainly talk about, has gotten even bigger with COVID-19, especially with people working remotely and not having access to as many jobs as they did before. And yeah, it's certainly a very important issue.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, you know, the COVID-19 issue is just so important to hit on. It's right. You're seeing workers who are in desperate situations. We've seen an unemployment crisis that is reaching levels unseen since the Great Depression. Workers are in desperate, desperate situations, and that gives employers, especially corporate, you know, big corporate employers, power, and it takes power out of the hands of workers. So you're going to see people who don't feel like they have any negotiating power. You're going to see workers who risk very egregious treatment should they return to work. Employers who aren't following safety standards, who are taking advantage of their workers left and right because they know that they have nowhere else to go. And so making sure that these bad employers are held accountable every single time they violate the law is so critically important. I think the phrase now more than ever is overused in this crisis, but I do think it's more important now than ever that we make sure workers are able to protect their rights.
We're speaking with Molly Coleman. She is the executive director of the People's Parity Project, as we're chatting about the forced arbitration system in Minnesota and why it's important that we try to get this thing changed in the next legislative session should the makeup of the legislature change. She wrote about that over in the Minnesota Reformer. Molly, before I let you go, as I talked about, you are with the People's Parity Project. Can you tell us a little bit about what that organization is and where people can learn more about it?
Definitely. So the People's Parity Project is a relatively new organization. We got started about 2 years ago, and we're looking at the ways in which workers and consumers are shut out of the civil legal system and organizing new attorneys, organizing law students to change that so that people truly have access to a system that works for justice. You can find out more about us at peoplesparity.org. We're also on Twitter, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and would love to connect with like-minded folks.
Absolutely. Again, that's Molly Coleman with the People's Parity Project. Molly, appreciate the time today.
Of course. Thanks so much.